This is El Puente Podcast with
Kim,
Dave,
and Michael.
Conversations at the intersection of race, sexuality, religion, politics, art, music, and everything in between.
We're stronger when we connect the POVs of POCs.
So what were the highlights of your trip in Mexico, Mike?
Wow. As always, the people. My friends who live there, people you just run into and interact with on the street, friends from, you know, the art world here that were there for the festivals, getting to get blackout drunk one night. Oh, my God. I have not done that in ages. I can't even tell you the last time I blacked out from drinking.
Oh, my God, Michael.
I know. It snuck up on
honey,
me, too.
Honey, you know better.
I know.
I'm not judging you, but Lord.
It was the mezcal. Oh, so that's why it snuck up on me. It was just like...
Always be amongst true, true, authentic friends if you're going to do that. That's they were.
No, I was with my awesome art folks.
Okay.
Yeah, and they took care of me. They got me home.
Okay.
I woke up the next morning and I was like, I had no recollection of how I got back.
Oh, Jesus.
And like, they set me up with a car and got me home. So yeah, they looked after me.
I remember those days.
I have to give a huge shout out to, speaking of some of these people, to Leslie Muricastro and Tania Diaz, who work with Atravesarte. And they made this all possible, like getting to go to the fairs and connecting me to people and events and stuff. It was really cool. So thank you, ladies.
And Kim, you have a educators conference that you...
Yeah, it's attended? I went to TMEA, the Texas Music Educators Association, and it's always great just to... I mean, I have the most fun at the booths. I mean, there's all these great conferences with all these great speakers, and there's always great insight that you get, and you learn different strategies for your classroom, and you realize how much you're not doing. But you're like, you incorporate a little bit every year, and so you're getting there. That's, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. But I loved seeing all the music technology they have out there, all the resources. And then, you know, just getting to see people that I used to work with in the music teaching field, you know, mm-hmm. that, you know, get to reconnect with them. And students who are now like, you know, I met one of my students my first year teaching, and he's singing for the Meyerson Symphony Center in Dallas nice. Now as a baritone. Mm. Yeah.
Wait, where did you teach this kid?
I taught him in Richardson.
Oh, so that was
my
first year.
My first year teaching. Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh,
that's great. Yeah, and he remembered you, or
yeah, he remembered me. Yeah,
that is so cool.
Yeah,
yeah. You guys, in particular, both of you. Like, I don't think you both realize how impactful you are as educators.
Aww.
Like, you are changing some real kids' futures out there. You know, either from, and I'm not just saying like the content you teach, but just you as people and like what you model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure. The way you're caring and the way you do it. Yeah, I think y'all are.
That's sweet.
I'm giving you two thumbs up.
Oh, y'all are so sweet.
Yeah, I like how long your thumbs are and how
that's
they're
not the
placed right
that's
in the middle of your hand.
I appreciate
you get
that.
The picture. You get the picture.
Yeah. Well, being an educator is a double-edged sword because there's a lot of great stuff and there's a lot of not great stuff about it, you know. But mm-hmm. I really appreciate that. And it's always good whenever you hear other teachers give you praise for what you do, because they're the people in the trenches.
Yeah.
They're the people who get it. So
they
Michael,
know.
You know. You've been in the trenches for a long time, too.
Thank you, Michael.
So you know what it's like.
And you're a pretty phenomenal teacher yourself. And I mean,
I wouldn't say that. I'm good. No, I'm being very, very honest. Like, I think I'm a good teacher. But what I think I'm good at is all the extraneous things, especially like the position that I'm doing now, where I get to do lots of different stuff.
You're the spackle. Like, You're spectacular, yeah. Spackle.
I'm spackletacular.
You're spackletacular.
spackle anyways, holds that place together.
But I think that's what I do well in the field of education, because I feel like
you're a facilitator,
and you know, and I coach teachers, and also pull small groups and stuff like that. But I think all of it together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you that.
But y'all are just like, you're the beast neath.
Yeah. Right.
Shall we pop the news?
Pop it.
The news. So, have you guys done your taxes yet?
I started.
Yeah?
Yeah, I started a little bit before I left for Mexico. Still waiting on a couple of other documents, though.
Mm-hmm. I bet taxes are pretty tricky for you because of all of, like, you know.
Yes, because I'm doing taxes as a teacher and also as an artist.
Right. So it's kind of like a weird labyrinth to, you know, get through. Yeah. What about you, Kim? Have y'all done your taxes yet?
Okay. Every year is drama with us on that because Paul is self-employed, self-contracted.
Right.
And does all these different musician jobs. We both are in the band. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just trying to, you know, we're not the best accounting people. We're both the typical, you know, musician that just is, okay, yeah, we're keeping our receipts, but we don't know where they are.
Ooh, I've got it.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Your child is really good with numbers. Oh. You train him to do your taxes and all your business stuff for the bands and stuff.
He could be y'all's manager.
He could be like a manager, accountant.
That's true.
Keep in mind, he's what, 7 now?
I know.
But he knows. He could do the math.
He could totally do that.
Oh, he could do the math.
He might be better than the people doing the math for the taxes nowadays. the Trump administration.
What? Who? What?
So that's our
the
big,
Cheeto, you mean?
Yes, that guy. I'm sorry. Thank you. The guy who shall not be named, who I just named by accident. But
you mean the beast.
Yes. So I am not the beast. I have not done my taxes yet because I'm always scared to do my taxes. When I got my part-time job, you know, it added to my teacher pay, and I've been paying taxes for the past, 3 years now because of that extra income that's coming in. And it pisses me off because I'm like, why should a teacher have to pay taxes anyway? I mean, you know, I'm not.
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I think we should, it should be a zero. Like, okay, you guys took the right amount of money out every, you know, and because I'm a teacher, I ain't got shit to be paying, right?
Yeah.
And normally I get a refund with just my teacher salary, but it's that extra income.
Yeah.
So they don't take out the taxes out of your check and the part-time job?
They take out, but I guess I'm not asking them to withhold enough. Like, I could probably change the amount of withholding, and I would probably owe a little bit less, but I really need that money in the moment. Mm-hmm. That's why I have that job, so that I can, you know, pay off debt and shit like that. But it's this endless cycle because come tax time, here I am fucking paying money that I just paid off on my credit cards. Endless cycle. Well, of course, the news is related to taxes because this this past month, a lot of people have been expecting to get tax returns.
Yes.
And because of the new tax law that was passed last year by the Republicans, a lot of voters, especially Trump voters, you guys saw this?
Oh, yes.
Are very upset because they are not getting refunds. And in many cases, they're actually ending up paying thousands of dollars in taxes because of the tax cut, quote unquote, of last year. So, have you been following the details of this?
No, give me all the details, honey. Yeah,
it's pretty funny.
It's sad.
It's sad, but it's like karma funny.
It's more infuriating for non-Trump voters like myself.
Oh, of course.
That's why I'm like scared. I'm like, bitch, if I owe more money in taxes because of this motherfucker and I didn't vote for him, I'm pissed.
Oh, mm-mm.
Uproar.com actually put a bunch of tweets from Trump voters who are angry about getting screwed over.
That's awesome.
With this tax plan. And so I've been doing a lot of reading about why the taxes are, why it seems to be so weird for people, why they're paying and why they're not getting refunds. As it turns out, it has to do with what you were saying about me and my withholding. They changed the tax law, so people were getting more money monthly on their checks as a result of that tax law. But what they weren't doing is they weren't withholding enough.
Yes.
And voters were not smart enough, or that's kind of the wrong thing to say. They just didn't realize that they should be
changing.
Yeah, they
were just ignorant of the law.
They were ignorant of the law and its results and didn't change their withholding. So at the end of the year, they weren't having enough money taken out, and now they're owing thousands of dollars.
Oh my gosh.
In some of the other states, I have read to find out that a lot of the deductions that people normally claim on their taxes were also done away with under the tax law.
Yeah, the teachers are losing the $200.
We lost that one. Yeah. The teacher deduction's gone. There are bigger ones, like, for example, in states like California and New York, where people are used to paying state and local taxes and then deducting those taxes from their federal taxes. Mm-hmm. That deduction's like been halved, as I understand it, or it's super, super not there anymore.
Wow.
And so these people are having this huge tax liability for the first time.
Oh my gosh.
And so people are like kind of in an uproar, which brings me to some of these tweets that I wanted to read, because these are voters talking.
Wow.
Through Twitter. And let's read this one. So this is from Jay Wright. He says, I just finished my taxes and we're paying an extra $4K this year since exemptions are gone. With a high DHC plan, this has not been a good year. I voted for you twice. What's the plan? This is from I'm new at this.
Perfect.
Okay. I have to pay $2,000 more in taxes this year? What happened? I voted for you and thought you were fixing this, not making it worse. I thought I would get more money back this year.
Oh, wow.
From Joel Serbin. At POTUS, thank you for screwing the middle class with your tax reform. I have never in my life, I'm 49 years old, had to pay into the IRS until this year. We have combined income of $150,000. The middle class voted for you. I will not make the same mistake twice.
Wow.
Man, we don't have to do the clapbacks. We got it right here.
All news is a clapback.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So these are Trump voters voicing their displeasure.
Waking up and smelling their asshole.
Yeah. So I am terrified to do my taxes because I just don't know what is going to be the result.
Like, yeah.
I cannot pay more in taxes this year.
Oh my God.
I just can't.
Oh.
Life is confusing. Sometimes you need clarification. Look no further than your fellow humans' tweets and memes and everything in between for life's sweet answers. And you no longer need to ask, what exactly do you mean?
That was the best Jerry Blank impression ever. Thank you. Right? Didn't it sound like something she would say?
My God.
Like, what exactly do you mean?
My God.
Okay.
From Unknown. You're killing yourself for a job that would replace you within a week if you drop dead. Take care of yourself.
From Stacey Abrams. Compassionate treatment at the border is not the same as open borders. President Reagan understood this. President Obama understood this. Americans understand this.
Add from McIard. All we do is smoke and give you meat. You date in a barbecue grill, sis.
On Twitter, at Tommy Lauren says, when you're in the country illegally, you get deported. I didn't write the law, and neither did ICE. They enforce it. P.S. My ancestors did discover America. In response, at Muslim IQ, your ancestors didn't, quote, discover America. Your great-great-grandfather, Constantine Dietrich, was indicted for forging his naturalization docs. Your great-great-grandfather, Gilbert Halvor Lauren, also came via fraud. You, Tommy, are the illegal you so hate.
From at Penny Middleton. We should teach our girls this phrase. What did you mean by that? It's a subtle way to hold people accountable and a way to teach our girls that sitting in discomfort is not a gender prerequisite.
From at It's Alex Jackson, blocking your parents and other family members on social media is LGBT culture.
at roads_to_recovery. Things everyone need to come to terms with. Number one, no response is a response. Number two, if they wanted to, they would. Number three, timing will not always be in your favor. Number four, not everyone has the same heart as you.
From a dancer underscore alley. White people love putting blackface on everything, except for Jesus.
From at Sailor Mars Pimp. Isn't it wild that every version of you probably exists still somewhere in someone's memory? The messy you crying on the floor still exists. The happy, sun-soaked you exists in your best friend's memory. No part of us has died. All parts of us exist always, simultaneously and hidden.
From an Adam MC Best. So let me get this straight. Ted Cruz wants to use money seized from El Chapo to fund the wall. The same El Chapo whose cartel smuggled drugs via planes, fishing boats, cars, submarines, tractor trailers, and trains at legal points of entry, proving that a wall would be worthless. And from John Ain't Dead Yet, didn't El Chapo escape from prison by tunneling under the walls?
This from at Technically Ron. Being an adult is pretty easy. You just feel tired all the time and tell people how tired you are, and they tell you how tired they are.
Por desconocido. Los proyectos en equipo me ayudaron a entender por qué Batman trabaja solo.
From at Sean Kent. Retweet this if your retirement plan is basically, quote, civilization will probably crumble before I'm 65 and money will be meaningless anyway.
At Talbert Swan. Calling a black POTUS married 25 years to one wife with two children, no mistresses, affairs, or scandals, the Antichrist, but a white POTUS married thrice, five kids by three women, mistresses, affairs, and scandals, quote, God's anointed, proves your religion is white supremacy.
Hallelujah, Jerry.
Okay, we're interrupting our segment to snap for that one. Just too good.
Too good.
The internet isn't just for porn. It's a place where we can tell ignorant folks to step off and give them a clapback heard around the world.
This week, Jennifer Lopez caught some flack from haters and internet trolls for participating in a Motown tribute during the Grammys. Kim, were you watching?
I did not get to watch the Grammys.
I know what you guys might be thinking out there.
What?
They still do the Grammys?
No. Yes, no, I'm going to watch them. I plan to watch them. I just haven't yet. But yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
You watched them.
No, I did not see it.
Oh, I thought you watched them.
I haven't watched the Grammys for 20 years. You know, here's the problem with the Grammys. For me, I think that they could be cool sometimes for the performances, the live performances, and what everybody's talking about. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's just really impossible for me to take the awards that they give to those artists seriously when there is so much good music out there.
Yeah.
So much music that's never heard or never appreciated by that academy or whatever they call it, that association. Will never be acknowledged.
Yeah.
And yet, you have, like, the Foo Fighters as, like, the best rock band. Like, really? Yeah. The Foo Fighters are the best rock band? The Foo Fighters weren't even the best rock band when they, like, were a good rock band.
Oh.
Sorry. You can do the sound effect right there. But, no. And I love David Grohl. But anyway, no. But here's the deal. So, apparently during the Grammys, J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez, did a performance with Neo in honor of Motown.
Right.
And as is completely unexpected, she got a lot of shit for it. Did you see some of the commentary?
No.
So people were like, why the fuck is J-Lo? What the fuck has J-Lo got to do with Motown? Why is she being the celebrating Motown person?
Haters gotta hate.
Yeah. What do you think about that? Cam, I know you're like,
I think it's ridiculous. Yeah. I think it's ridiculous. Mm. It's just like, and it's, I hate to say it, but my people pick and choose, because when Bono, you know, was invited to do, to BET Awards, whatever, and they honored him as, you know, for a Black Achievement Award or something
Bono
like that.
Bono got a Black Achievement Award?
Or, okay, maybe I'm getting that mixed up.
That would have been awesome if he did, though.
But I know that he was, they gave him the opportunity to be recognized for what he had done for the African-American community. Let me just say that part for sure.
Okay.
And they didn't give him flack. Yeah. You know, he didn't get any flack, mm-hmm. but they just mm-hmm. think, they just mad because she done married a bunch of brothers, or been with a bunch of brothers, stealing their men.
Has she? No, she was married to...
You know she dated a lot of brothers.
Chihuahua Man. What's his name?
P. Diddy.
Mark Anthony.
No.
You cannot call him Chihuahua Man, but yes.
Okay.
No.
Mark Anthony. Who's she dating now?
No, but J-Lo dated, what's his face?
P. Diddy.
P. Diddy, yes.
She sure did.
I forgot she was married to him.
She married to him?
We are dating. We are totally dating ourselves to the audience.
No, now she wasn't married to him.
They now know how old we are. You sure? They dated. They didn't marry.
Okay, they dated for a long time.
The fact that you brought that up shows that we are way old, because that happened a long time ago.
was Anne Hesh involved in any of this?
Michael.
You're ridiculous. So here's the deal. I think we're all in agreement. I mean, Michael, you didn't say anything, but I'm sure... What? I'm sure that you're in agreement that J-Lo catching bullshit for this is stupid, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, okay, like they had... Who was it? Well, they had a lot of people did the tributes to Prince, right?
Yeah.
Like who?
Madonna did one.
Well, she did get flack for hers, I think.
But that's what that's saying.
But they had other non-black people. Mm-hmm. But they went after hers in particular, I remember.
What did she sing? Do you remember what she sang?
I mean,
Nothing Compares to You, maybe?
No. Was it?
I think it was Nothing Compares to You is what she sang. Yeah, it was. She sang that. Right. But anyway, you know... And that's actually a good point that you brought up, that Madonna flack that she got for singing, you know, to Prince when mm-hmm. Prince died, or what, you know, honoring Prince when he died, because it's very similar. And it's this.
See, but I don't think it was for her being white.
I think it was. No. I think it's the same issue.
Didn't Lady Gaga also perform, or was that Bowie? I can't remember now.
I'm sure that was Bowie. Yeah.
But I think there were other white performers, but they just didn't like hers particularly.
Well, here's the deal.
It was kind of self-indulgent.
Oh, it was self-indulgent. Well, yeah, yeah. It was Madonna. But yeah. so was Prince. So it was like doubly honorable. Anyway, no, because here's the deal. And I guess that brings us to our clapback of the week, actually. The clapback actually comes from Motown legend Smokey Robinson. Because Smokey Robinson was reacting to all the online trolls and all the haters out there who are giving J-Lo a bunch of bull about singing Motown songs and being and honoring Motown, right?
I mean, they may be mad because she can't sing, but you know what I'm saying? Because she can't sing.
There's a clapback sound again.
Why didn't they just say that?
Yeah, just say that.
No,
right?
That's not why they were saying that. And that's what he was saying. He says, this is from Smokey Robinson. He says, quote, "I don't think anyone who is intelligent is upset. I think anyone who is upset is stupid." Motown was music for everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody. Who's stupid enough to protest Jennifer Lopez doing anything for Motown?
I mean, that's what Berry Gordy was trying to do.
That was a slippity slappy snap cap.
Yes.
That was good.
But that is exactly what the mission of Motown was.
Exactly.
It was to cater to everyone, to mm-hmm. and through that catering to everybody, he was also tearing down racial barriers.
Yeah, it was a crossover opportunity for everyone to understand each other more, because when you dance together, like we talked about many times,
you fuck together.
And then you have mixed babies, and it's like, well, I can't hate half my kid.
And then you look like Smokey Robinson.
He is the most beautiful man, isn't he? He's still.
That was brilliant. That was a brilliant clapback. It was like well written.
Yeah.
Like it's very succinct.
Yeah.
Was that Twitter?
No, I think he just said that.
Oh, okay. I was like, that is like a perfect tweet. That must have like been every character.
No. He said that. And, you know, and I feel for J-Lo because actually, you know, it's completely unfair what they were saying.
Yeah. I mean, what'd they say?
Well, you know, they were saying that it didn't make sense that she was the one who was going to be to honor Motown. The legend of Motown is just too big for, you know, J-Lo to is an odd choice. But it's like, but Motown is for everyone.
Okay? I know.
Motown was and is for everyone.
Why didn't they have somebody from Motown?
Though? I'm sorry. I stand corrected. It was Bono was at the NAACP Awards that they honored him for his black achievement. Sorry, I just wanted to correct that. Yeah.
Correct the record.
Yes.
J-Lo, actually, in an interview right after the performance, she said, this is from her, that the performance was really for her mother because her mother is the person who turned her on to that music because her mom listened to Motown when she was a kid.
Yes.
And that's exactly our point. You know, that music broke down racial barriers. It crossed racial lines. It's for everybody. And it's even more of an honor
that
J-Lo is standing up there saying this music was integral in my life.
Yes.
And you know what I mean? People are so... But anyway, this is what J-Lo said. She said, quote, "Any type of music can inspire any type of artist. You can't tell people what to love. You can't tell people what they can and can't do."
Mm-hmm. Right, Kim? Sorry.
"What they should sing or not sing." Mm-hmm. So that's... and I agree with that. I think we've talked about this before at the Big Medium show that we did where somebody asked us what they thought about the role of art and I was talking about the role of music in social justice and how I'd made the point that, you know, some of the biggest social justice warriors that we've had in history are the musicians.
Yeah.
Because they are breaking down barriers with their music. That's exactly what Motown is. So J-Lo performing Motown is exactly in keeping with the legacy of Motown. It is spot on the legacy of Motown.
Yes.
The legacy of Motown is a whole rainbow of people on that stage performing their songs.
Yeah. For me, the problem with my people sometimes is that we get territorial about this is our music. This Motown belongs to us. We the black people. And they don't, or we don't, let me say, open our mind to see it's not just us. It hasn't, it's all because it was our people doesn't mean it only belongs to us.
Yeah.
You know,
and music doesn't belong to just anybody.
It belongs to everybody. It belongs to
everybody.
Yeah, the arts.
And the arts. Those are the one thing that does break down those barriers, you know? Mm-hmm. So Smokey Robinson gets this week's clapback heard around the world for stating the obvious. Motown was music for everybody. Music is for everybody.
Yes. That is one Smokey clap.
This week, we test Kim's linguistic labors in Spanish and focus on her lecciones learned.
Kimberly?
Okay.
This week's lesson, your lección, comes from something that just happened as we were recording our "What Exactly Did You Meme?" segment. And I read this one in Spanish, and you were like intent on figuring this out. So I was like, you know what? We're going to drop that lesson that we did all that research for and prepped for, and we're going to do this instead.
That's called making it a teachable moment.
Yeah.
That's a teacher strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you're on the class too, Dave.
Okay.
Because I know you know what this means.
Right.
I'm going to test you on your pronunciation. But at first, I want to have Kim try to pronounce this on her own.
Okay.
This is the tweet that you read earlier.
Yes.
Okay. Go for it.
Los proyectos en equipo me ayudaron a entender, porque Batman trabaja solo.
All right.
Okay, very nice. Do you want me to read it now too?
Yes.
Or are you thinking?
Yeah.
Los proyectos en equipo me ayudaron a entender por qué Batman trabaja solo.
Nice.
Wow.
Y'all are naturals. Okay.
Do I want a cookie?
Solo si trabajas en proyecto.
That's right. So, now comes the deciphering, Kim.
Okay.
What does this mean?
Okay. The protectors?
Proyectos?
No. Just look at the word. What does it look like in English?
Project. The project.
It's a cognate.
Okay. Yeah. The team's project. But the project of the team.
Uh-huh.
The project of the team.
Okay. Look. You have N, which means?
Oh, the project in team with helping.
Well, first, look at that phrase first. Yeah. Los proyectos en equipo. Now that you know what each of those words mean, what do you think the overall meaning would be?
The people on my team. The project.
Yeah, I mean, she's got the gist. You're being a stickler, Michael.
No, I wanted her to come to the like
the one project and the project team.
Okay, flip it.
The team projector.
No, team project or group projects.
The group projects. Yes. Okay. So
projects and team. Kind of like the team project.
Yeah.
Okay. So you had this idea. You were just being a stickler.
Okay.
I just wanted to
say squirm.
Okay. So you got that part.
Okay.
Right?
The team project.
Okay. Now, so me ayudaron a entender. Remember too, this is for our listeners who are also trying to learn Spanish. So Spanish is what we call a reflexive language. So that means that the verbs usually reflect onto the subject, right?
Okay.
And so when you see, for example, me ayudaron, you know the word ayudar means to help, right?
Yeah.
So they helped me. It's reflecting onto me. So
okay.
Me ayudaron. They reflect onto me, okay?
They helped me to, but Anton. What is it? I'm reading that like French.
You did sound French.
Entendre.
Entendre.
Because that's French.
Entendre.
Entender. Entender.
Entender. Entender.
That's one of those verbs that comes and goes. I feel like it's like even when I'm speaking, this verb will it's like it's not in my grasp. Like what's that word? Entender. That's right.
What do you use in place of it?
Saber.
To know,
but it's not quite the same.
Yeah, or to understand.
To understand.
Oh,
all right.
Entender. Okay, so the group project that helped me.
Yes, helped me.
Oh, okay, helped me to understand that Batman works alone.
Why Batman works alone?
Yes. Yeah, the reason I was making you squirm, because I wanted you to say group project, because that's like the phrase everybody, you think, okay, school, working in school and group project.
Yes. You know? So
it's like, basically, it's group project. Help me understand why Batman works alone.
Got it. Man, that took a long time.
But wait a minute, didn't Batman work with Robin? Only after a long while, though.
And only after hours.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Michael. Oh, you're awful. We have to cancel out the darkness with some light and focus on positivity and gratitude in the world. So we end with S-O-S-O-S-O.
So this week, we want to give a shout out to two allies, straight allies, who... though they didn't have to, really stepped out of their comfort zones and really showed their support for the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, and queer communities. So the first is a guy who I'd never heard of before because I don't watch rugby. But his name is James Haskell. He is a rugby football player from Northampton Saints in England. And when you think of rugby, of course, what do you think about?
Yeah, men rubbing up on each other.
Well, this is true.
Wow, Kim. Like somebody, you have like you have enough time in your schedule.
I know. Somebody can't get enough, apparently. No, I mean, yes, you're right. There's definitely men rubbing it up on each other, but it's also a very masculine sport, right? It's a very,
yes,
like, you know, that kind of thing. So
sorry.
But anyway, he is a, I know it's fine. I mean, believe me, that's what I think about too. I'm just glad you said it, not me. But, and he's a hot guy, by the way, this guy, James. But anyway, so this is what James said about the fact that gay people still have to, quote unquote, come out. Right.
Yes.
He said, quote, "My view on sexuality is it's a shame that it's something people still have to announce or deal with. But obviously we do. And it's like that because a lot of people aren't informed as they should be. I think there's a multitude of religions that make sexuality a very uncomfortable thing, which is a shame. I never came out as a straight, so I don't see why other people should have to put their hand up and say, I'm gay and I'm this and I'm that. But we live in this world. I can't imagine what it's like to be struggling to actually be yourself, to live a life where you're not able to be yourself, and to come to a team like the Outlaws where you're not judged, you're accepted, is essential," unquote. So that was a very mm-hmm. powerful statement from him.
Yeah, I mean, it's more than a statement. It's like a thought process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really, it was like, I could see him kind of working through it as, you know, as it developed. Yeah. It's like,
as a person, wow. As a straight person kind mm-hmm. of going through. And I was like, huh, I've never been asked to come out as straight.
Yeah.
You know? That's one of the things I always like to hear whenever people make the argument. So when did you decide to be gay?
Yeah.
You know? Oh, yeah. When did you decide to be straight?
Yeah. It's,
you know,
it's such a decision.
It's a decision. Yeah. It's bullshit.
No, it'd be great to be like, and when are you going to decide?
Girl, when are you going to decide that you was a gay? Some people were kind of they were supportive of his statement, James's statement, but mm-hmm. they also had questions. Mm-hmm. Like, there was one user who I read, he questioned whether or not straight people can really understand the importance of coming out and why visibility and being visible in gay parades and all of that is so important for us.
Yeah.
Because in place of that, we have invisibility.
Yeah.
And invisibility is what leads to, you know,
all the murders around the world.
Yes.
Right. Honestly, for the homophobic, when people can see the normalcy and you can be visible and see what people are doing mm-hmm. that's against basic human rights, it wakes people up, you know?
Right. Yeah.
It's just like the civil rights movement with all the media and things. Yeah. You know, that visibility gave us more empathy amongst non-blacks.
Yeah. And let's be honest, we're living in a time right now where it's very dangerous for gay people and trans people around the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, just this past week, there were two horrific cases that came up. There was the 21-year-old medical student in Algeria. This is a heartbreaking story. Yeah. His name is Asil Balata. And this is February the 11th. He was murdered. And without getting into the gruesome details, you know, the murderers used his blood to write on the wall that he was gay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is Algeria. And then, of course, there was the case. It was February 5th. Of Hugo Mendez, who was a gay primary school teacher who worked in Puebla, Mexico, so not that far away. Yeah. And he, you know, he was murdered. And just another one of many in Mexico. I mean, some of the statistics in Mexico are just horrendous. Around 6 members of the LGBTI community are murdered every month in Mexico. At least 202 murders of gay, transgender, bisexual, questioning people have occurred between 2014 and 2015. We know that trans women face the majority of this violence, and a total of 108 trans women have been killed in Mexico in this time frame. 93 gay men have been killed, even one gay woman. So, you know, it's numbers like that make make visibility though so important. You know, it's like we can't be scared.
I would say even more than visibility, it's familiarity.
That's
what's important. When you get to be familiar with someone and you see them as a person and not just some stigma that your church tells you that they are.
Right.
That's why I know it's hilarious, but what was the show back in the Will and Grace.
Yeah.
I think having them on the air for as long as we did.
Right.
I do feel like that's somehow changed the country.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? Yeah. It's funny to think it's really well acted and great writing and everything.
That's why it came back. Yay.
Yeah, it came back. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're doing another season of it.
Yep.
Yeah. Speaking of shows that came back and don't ever go away, SNL.
David.
Don Cheadle was on SNL this past week. And apparently, Don was making all kinds of political statements on SNL. And one of them was he wore a T-shirt that said "Protect Trans Kids."
Love it.
As he was introducing Gary Clark Jr. as the musical guest. And he was very sure to have his arms behind his back so that you could proudly read the shirt.
Aww. Love it. I've always loved him.
Yeah, he's just...
He just seems like he has a great heart.
Yeah.
He seems like
he... Well, and he's very intelligent, brilliant.
I was going to say, yeah, so intelligent.
Yeah, I mean, he really... And just worldly, he knows a lot about the world. He seems like he's had a lot of experience in the world, and his insight on things is always like...
Yeah, you always get that impression listening to him in interviews and things. Like, he seems like a worldly man. So, and he's clearly an ally, and it's a really great, and we really always celebrate whenever people like that, performers like that, or anybody like that who uses those platforms, and they have those platforms like that to speak and in front of millions of people, and to kind of put those messages out there. It's great to have allies like that.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think both celebrities, I mean, that's, you know, going out of their way to speak to an issue that doesn't necessarily affect them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's what allies do.
But it does. Indirectly, it does affect them. And I think it's great for them to see that.
To acknowledge certainly. That.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, here. A threat to injustice, or a threat to justice anywhere. It's a threat to justice everywhere, right? Yeah. Is that how it goes?
Yeah.
A threat to justice anywhere. Yeah. It's a threat to justice everywhere.
Yeah.
We just had an episode on MLK last week, bitch.
I know.
We forgetting all the quotes.
But thank you, gentlemen, for standing up for a community you are not a part of. That's what it takes. That's how you build these bridges.
So amen.
Keep it up.
And that's how you get a shot of tequila in your name.
Mm-hmm.
So raise our glasses and on the count of three say
S-O-S-O-S-O.
Thanks again for listening to El Puente Podcast, an intersectional conversation where all our voices can meet.
Don't just sit there, stand up. Don't just listen. Join the conversation
on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or you can email us at bocamadremedia@gmail.com.
From at unknown. Do we say at unknown? No, we don't. From unknown. If speaking kindly to plants helps them grow, imagine what speaking kindly to human. to cumin. I always speak to my cumin while I'm cooking. Okay.
Speak kindly to your cumin.